Well, John, I want to hand down to you some family heirlooms.
Really?
Did you hear that, dear? Grandpa has some gifts for us.
That's nice, dear.
So, what do you have for me?
Well, I have this Bible. It's been in the family since our relatives came over on the Mayflower in the 1600s.
Wow, that's got to be worth a lot.
Hon, what do you think we can get for this?
I'll call the appraiser tomorrow.
What else do you have?
I have these wedding bands owned by your great-great-grandparents.
Are they gold?
Oh, no, they're silver. They were way too poor to afford gold.
Oh.
Well, what do you think, dear? Garage sale?
Garage sale.
What's this book?
That's the history of our family going back to the 1400s. I've been working on this for the last 47 years.
Well, that's nice. Hon?
Attic.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming over, Grandpa. Come again.
Is there a significance we're missing when it comes to what gets passed down to us? You know, the tomb that held Jesus holds many mysteries and secrets. It might make you wonder, what if the tomb could talk?
But can you imagine the story? Can you imagine the insights we would have today on Jesus being in that tomb if that tomb could talk?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. There are some important truths that can be learned from the tomb in which Jesus was laid. This week, Charles Tapp reveals these lessons and why the tomb should hold an important place in the hearts and minds of anyone who calls themselves followers of Christ. As he shares this special Easter weekend message titled, If the Tomb Could Talk.
This weekend, as you well know, the Christian church all over the world pauses to reflect upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I can't help but to be reminded today of some of the many characters that played an integral part, an integral role, whether big or small, in this tragic but yet historic event. And although there may be many of them, I want to share just a few of them to come to my mind this morning. First of all, there is the fallen, misguided disciple Judas, who sold his master into the hands of the Romans, as we know, for just 30 pieces of silver. Then there was Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, who plotted to take the very life of Jesus. And who can forget Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, who presided over Jesus' trial and ultimately over his crucifixion, and who eventually, at the end of the day, wanted to wash his hands of the entire situation. And of course, there were the Roman soldiers, the Roman guards, who savagely beat Jesus within an inch of his life. And although this is not an exhaustive list, these are just some of the players, some of the characters that come to mind when we think about the crucifixion of Jesus, and they're just simply too hard to forget. But today, I would like to add another character, another player to this list, one that is rarely mentioned in this context, but in my opinion, played just as much of a role in this story as did all the others. Which character, you ask, could that be? None other than the tomb itself. That's right, I didn't make a mistake. The tomb that held the lifeless body of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27 this morning as we look at verses 57 to verse 61. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body. Did you see that? He commands the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, the Bible says he wrapped it up in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed, verse 61. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, the Bible says, sitting opposite the tomb. Now, before we go too far into our message, I want to take a few moments to reflect on what I just said and what I just read. First of all, we are told that a man by the name of Joseph from Arimathea, which was a city in Judea, went to Pilate to request the body of Jesus. But what do we really know about this man? How much do we really know about Joseph? Well, first of all, the Bible says he was a very rich man, and we'll talk more about that later. It also says in the book of Mark, it reveals to us that Joseph was part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin, the Greek word that comes out of it, meaning assembly or council. But in this case, the Sanhedrin is actually a type of Supreme Court of the ancient Israelites who would meet every single day to deal with the issues of the law except for Sabbath and festive days. And this is important. Remember, it was the Sanhedrin who found Jesus guilty of blasphemy when he went before that kangaroo court. But as Luke's gospel reminds us, Joseph of Arimathea was not in agreement with the decision that was made. Did you know that? Look at Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to verse 56. Let's read God's word this morning. Now, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good, and the council he's talking about here is the council of the Sanhedrin, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, there it is. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also, don't miss this, Joseph of Arimathea was also waiting for the kingdom of God. That's important. This man went to Pilate, asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in the tomb. There was hewn out for the rock where had no one had ever lain before, verse 54. That day was the preparation, and the Bible says the Sabbath was drawing near, verse 55. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. This is Joseph's tomb now, verse 56. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath, the Bible says, according to the commandment. Now, to add to this situation, Matthew refers to him as a disciple of Jesus who just happened to be rich. But if he was a disciple of Jesus, and he was also a member of the Sanhedrin, the same Sanhedrin that cast the vote and charged against Jesus to crucify him, then Joseph would have had to have been a secret disciple of Jesus. Listen, there are many people today in high places that you and I may not know that they're waiting for the kingdom of God just like we are. And they are in places and they are important and they're dealing with difficult and very important decisions that will impact you and me. Let's pray for those kinds of people. Let's pray for those secret disciples. Now, I'm sure you're wondering why all this talk about Joseph. I thought, Pastor, you were preaching about the tomb. Well, the two are inextricably tied one to the other, for this tomb was Joseph's tomb. Not just that Joseph owned the tomb, but this was the tomb that Joseph's body was supposed to be placed in at his death. And although we know Joseph made a request of Pilate to allow him to have the body of Jesus, there is no way Jesus should have ever ended up in this particular tomb. And here's why I say this today. First of all, it was the Roman practice to leave a body that had been crucified on the cross until it had completely decayed. Secondly, although Jews had a practice where they would never leave a body that was dead overnight exposed, they had special places for anyone, any Jew, that had been sentenced to death by the Sanhedrin. They had a place for those who were slain by the sword, and then they had a place for those who had either been hung or stoned. And to add to all of this, think about it. Why would Pilate release the body of Jesus, one who had created such upheaval throughout the region and gave him all kinds of headaches, and one who said that on the third day he would be resurrected? What common sense does that make? Why would Pilate just hand over the body? The only plausible explanation would have to be that it was all the result of divine providence. In other words, it had to be the result of the intervention of the very hand of God. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in our lives, and there's no explanation, no reasonable explanation for it. Many times it's because God has his hand in it. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 53 this morning and verse 9. You see what I'm talking about. And they made his grave, talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus, with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Did you get it? Although it was the intention of the Romans that Jesus be given a common grave for a common criminal, and the Jews, we already know, had their special place for their criminals, from 700 years before all of this took place, the prophet Isaiah says that he would be given a place for the rich. So you can imagine how surprised everyone was to hear that Jesus was crucified and that he was put in this tomb of Joseph. The Sanhedrin, I'm sure, was surprised. The Jewish people were surprised. The Romans had to be surprised. I would even say today that the most surprised of all would had to have been the tomb. Now, I know the tomb is not a person. I recognize the tomb is an inanimate object. But can you imagine the story? Can you imagine the insights we would have today on Jesus being in that tomb if that tomb could talk? I can only imagine if I was the tomb, my first response would have been one of that of surprise, and then it probably would have turned to disappointment. Surprised because this was not who I would have expected to be in my tomb. This was Joseph's tomb. Not only did he own it, it was for his body. But then if I was the tomb, I would also be disappointed because Joseph, the Bible says, was a rich man, and now the one being laid in the tomb is a poor man. Don't miss this. In life, Jesus had no place to lay his head. And in death, he has no place to lay his body. So can you imagine the surprise of the tomb, wondering why in the world is this poor homeless Jew in my tomb?
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, If the Tomb Could Talk. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
This Easter, join Jesus on his journey from Palm Sunday to triumph over the grave.
WGTS 91.9 and Pastor Mark Batterson present The Road to Resurrection, an 8-day video series to reflect on Jesus' amazing gift to us.
To sign up, text EASTER to 800-700-1094.
Or visit WGTS919.com. Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tepp reveals the important truths that can be learned from the tomb that held Jesus' body and why it should hold an important place in the hearts and minds of anyone who calls themselves followers of Christ. As he concludes his message for this Easter weekend titled, If the Tomb Could Talk.
If the tomb could talk. And if the tomb could talk, although disappointed at first, it probably began to express feelings of satisfaction because at least he now had a body. At least the tomb now had purpose that was now being fulfilled. At least the tomb could now relax. But what this tomb did not realize, and the tomb was not the only one, that this was not Jesus' first encounter with death at a tomb. For it was at the tomb of his good friend Lazarus, who had been dead, the Bible says, for 4 days, where his body should have already started to decompose, that Jesus came upon the tomb, first thanking his Father in heaven for hearing his prayer, and then asking for Lazarus to come forth. Let's pick up this amazing story in Luke chapter 11, verses 43 to verse 44. Look at what God's word says. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the seats in the synagogues and the greeting in the marketplaces. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware. They are hypocrites. Jesus called out to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that Lazarus did just that. He came forth. So this was not Christ's first encounter with a tomb and death. Again, this tomb did not know, and those who played a part in his crucifixion must have conveniently forgotten that it was at the tomb of Lazarus where Jesus first demonstrated, please don't miss this, his authority over the enemy of death, hell, and the grave. And this is what we as believers today are celebrating. This is why we are here today. We are celebrating Christ's victory over the death, over the burial, over the grave. You know, I was driving the other day. Don't do that much driving anymore. I'm not too many of us do nowadays because we're quote unquote confined. But I saw this sign that really struck me. It says, although many things may be canceled, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus will never be canceled. Who says amen to that? I see you raising your hands in your home there. There are many things that have been suspended, many things that have been canceled. No, we're not able to be in our churches today and celebrate the resurrection, but the resurrection and the celebration of it will never be canceled because Jesus won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. But if the tomb didn't get the message of Jesus' resurrection power when he raised Lazarus from the tomb, surely he would have come to the realization that Jesus was the resurrection when he was taking his final breath. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verses 51 to 53. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split, verse 52. And listen to this, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, verse 53. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, the Bible says, and appeared unto many. Please don't miss this. At his death on the cross, it says that Jesus, when he took his last breath, the graves of many of God's saints opened up. But it says that they did not come out until after Christ was raised himself, after he came out of the tomb. Listen, I don't know about you, but if I had been this tomb that held the body of Jesus, this would have made me a little bit uncomfortable, to say the least. Because with his final breath, Jesus sends another very powerful message, not only to the tomb, but to all of us here today, that he is the Christ. That regardless of who may have been guarding the tomb, he had power over the tomb. Jesus had power over death. Jesus has power over the grave. And as ironic as it may seem, and I was thinking about that this week, the only real power, please don't miss this, the only real power associated with this tomb where Jesus lay is in the fact that it was left empty as a result of Jesus' glorious resurrection. Listen, it is the power that comes with the empty tomb. I love how the Apostle Paul articulates this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to verse 20. It says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is what? No resurrection of the dead. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, he says, our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, here it is, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, Paul says, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Verse 18, then also those which have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Verse 19, look at this. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, what does Paul say? We are of all men the most pitiable. But look at verse 20, and thank God for verse 20. But now, don't you love that? But now Christ is what, everybody? Is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What does Paul say? Regardless of how well guarded their tomb was, Christ had power over the tomb. The tomb was the first one to realize the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Oh, if the tomb could talk today, maybe the tomb would say, surely this man is the Son of God. Look at this quote from the preacher theologian Timothy Keller. If you're looking for a great book on prayer, he has one that's on my top five list. Timothy Keller says this: if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs, don't miss this, is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Did you get it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just one of the important facts of Scripture. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important truth in God's word, because on the resurrection of Jesus Christ hangs my faith and your faith, hangs my salvation and your salvation. So the issue today, as Keller said, is not whether or not we believe what Jesus said. Listen, if Jesus was risen from the dead, then he is the Christ. And then I've got a decision to make, whether I'm going to accept what he said or not. But the fact that Christ rose from the grave means nothing if you and I will not allow him to live in us. As Paul says in Colossians 1, verse 27, for it is Christ in you, in me, the hope of glory. Not just for hope here and now, but to have the hope of glory that is to come. The only way you and I will have access to that is if Jesus Christ is alive and well, living in each and every one of us. And that's what resurrection is all about. It's not about Easter bunnies and all of that. The resurrection is about the fact that Jesus had power over the tomb. Even the tomb realized that. And because he is now risen, he can live in your life and he can live in my life. For it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We ask the question, if the tomb could talk, well, what about us? We can talk. The Bible says, if we don't tell people about Jesus, the rocks will cry out. So I challenge us this resurrection weekend and all that we're doing, and we're not doing too much because of the confinement, we need to let somebody know that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he's no longer in a tomb, but that Jesus is risen and he can live in them. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, if you live in me and I live in you, you will bear much fruit. That's my prayer for all of us this resurrection weekend. It is the challenge that God has given us to allow his resurrected life to live in each and every one of us. And my prayer for all of us today is that we will do just that. Is that your desire today? If it is, just say amen wherever you are.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, If the Tomb Could Talk. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Jesus is abundantly clear that the righteousness which pleases God is not external obedience alone, but it is an inward righteousness. It is a righteousness of the heart.
That's a sample of what you'll hear next week as Charles Tapp begins a new series of messages titled The Standards of Jesus, Reflections from the Sermon on the Mount. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Join Jesus on his journey from Palm Sunday to triumph over the grave.
WGTS 91.9 and Pastor Mark Batterson present The Road to Resurrection, an 8-day video series to reflect on Jesus' amazing gift to us.
To sign up, text EASTER to 800-700-1094.
Or visit WGTS919.com. Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.